welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 131. It's Thursday night. That means it's your weekly Fab preview. This week we'll be previewing week 7 of Fab, recapping some news and much, much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Good, man. Not much going on today, so I'm doing well. Very light day and Thursday baseball. I didn't get to watch too much, so wasn't like the epic Tuesday we had with the last show, but we'll take it.
Ren Hifo was not playing today, so that's a big bummer when the mascot gets the day off. So not a whole lot else to talk about if that takes place, but we'll keep you guys covered here on some of the news, and more importantly the schedules, the most added at CBS, and your two start pitchers for the week to get you ready for another fun week of Fab. It's week 7 Fab, so what do we have, like 19 more after this, something like that? Like,
I think 19 more. There's either 26. Yeah. Like, we count week 0 as week 1, I think. So I think there's like 26 or 27 Fab weeks. Dude, it is like, so this is our first May show. April felt like a year to me, at least. And maybe it was just all the injuries and whatnot. It does not feel like it's just been a month of the season. I know it's been a little bit more, like it started late March, but April was a long month. It's a long month.
It was very long. It was wearing. It was tedious, but that's what we love. As people are tweeting today, the grind. It's the grind of baseball. That's what we love about it. So let's have some fun here. Let's talk about some positive things. One of Ryan's favorite potential prospect call-ups is getting the call for the New York Mets, Christian Scott.
I don't want to interrupt, but I do. Show news. We've got live standings from the Bubba and the Bloom.
Oh, my bad. Overall, I'm an idiot.
Overall listener leagues. I've been posted on the NFBC.
Yes, that's true. Would you care to run down some of the top names on the board?
It's not us.
No, it's not us. That is for sure.
It's not us. So we did four for newer listeners. We did four listener leagues.
Auction
on the NFBC, 15 team. We did four of them, so there's 60. And we put them all in an overall contest. This was all like late February. Yeah, all late February. And the winner, as you announced, gets an autographed jersey of their choice, preferably of someone on their team. For the overall winner. And so I kind of dragged my feet on asking NFBC to hook up the live standings for us, but they did. So anyone in our listener leagues can go to the NFBC, go to standings. I know some of our folks are newer to the NFBC or brand new to the NFBC. At the top, if you go to standings and just click overall, I think it defaults to main event, but you click that drop down, it goes to Bubba and the Bloom. And you can see... You can see Brandon Snyder in first place overall. So congrats so far to Brandon. Me and you, man, we got some work to do. Yep. We're sitting 27th and 28th. And then it's kind of interesting. Our first auction for both of us, we did two each to make sure that one of us was in each listener league. Both of our first auctions on the struggle bus, 50 and 53 out of 60.
So. That's not good. Not good at all, but we're moving. We're doing our thing. Like you said, it's kind of ironic. It's our second auction that did way better than our first so far. So we'll see how that keeps chugging along. But it's early, as they like to say. We have like 5 months of baseball to go. So we buckle up and keep on going.
That's what people at the bottom of the standings say. It's early.
Trying to stay positive here, Bloomfield. Trying to stay positive. Drink your water. Don't knock me down on this one, please. But yeah, when 15s and those injuries take place like they have, it's a lot tougher to get things replaced as you like in those situations. So you have to start taking some chances on certain things. So we'll see how that pans out here in the coming days.
Yeah. All right. Back one to of the chances. Sorry about that, man.
No, it's fine. One of the chances you could take on Fab this Sunday is on Christian Scott, who's getting called up by the New York Mets to make his major league debut and start on Saturday. Scott's been pretty darn good in the minor leagues this year, and I know Bloomfield likes him quite a bit, so I'm going to give you the floor on this one to wax poetically about one of your guys you've wanted up for quite some time.
I mean, it's just been like obvious that Christian Scott is ready. Looked great this spring, has dominated AAA, hasn't thrown like as many innings as they thought He has through 62 innings at Double A last year with a total of 85 last year. So I guess there's some like reason to keep him down at Triple A at least for a little bit, but that's over, especially because with the Mets, like they cannot throw Adrian Hauser out there every fifth day and believe to be a competitive team. So it's awesome to see Christian Scott up there. The numbers are jarring, right? Like the strikeout numbers are crazy. 6% walk rate, has had some home run issues so far this year in AAA. That's why he has like a 3.20 ERA, just a 3.20 ERA. Not sure enough. He's not like an extreme ground ball guy, so we'll see how the gopheritis translates from AAA to the majors. It's going to be wild to see what Scott goes for. I think non-Paul Skenes division, this is probably the most hype prospect that we'll get this year. There will be a lot more, you know, good prospects out there, but I fully expect Christian Scott. I don't know what you think, but like, I think he'll be going, if he pitches well on Saturday, Christian Scott will be, I think, north of like $200 in 15 team fab leagues. And so if you know, everyone's going to love Christian Scott. Myself included, I've been talking and clamoring for a call up. It's just, are you willing to pay 30% of your remaining budget, 40% of your remaining budget for a guy? In some leagues, I am. In some leagues, I am. I think I mentioned last show on one of my teams who I've lost Spencer Strider, Merrill Kelly, and Justin Steele on the same team. It's like I need to make a move in pitching, but it's going to be wild. I'm not sure. Would you be in on something that? Hi, Scott.
Not for me, just because that's not my style. And knock on wood, I've been fortunate in most of my leagues in pitching, so I haven't had to go too crazy. I have had some, don't get me wrong, but I got Kyle Bradish back today, which was nice. Justin Steele returns next week. Lizardo and Bayo have one rehab start. They're supposed to be back. Braxton Garrett comes back next week. All these guys are stashed. They're all coming around. So knock on wood, I don't need to do that, but like in your case, I get it. Makes a ton of sense. Michael Ciccone in the chat saying, like, he was asking, and that's the wrong one, $90 out of 100 fab, or Michael Wisnick, sorry, $90 out of 100 fab left. How much do you bet on Scott? You're saying 30 to 40%, right?
That's with a good start. That's what I'm guessing he's going to go for in some of these leagues. So
about $30, Michael, at least in your format, which makes sense. He's going to be a big one. Like you said, outside of Paul Skenes, this is kind of the dude everyone's been waiting for in the pitching world side of it. Now, like Junior Caminero, there's rumblings that he could be up sometime this weekend. We'll see if that actually takes place. He'd be a fun one on Sunday evening to discuss in Fab. There's a lot of those type of potentials out there is the best way I'll say it.
And the benefit with Scott is he's up first. So you would, if it hits, you get that for the longest amount of time. And like I said, the 85 innings last year, he could conceivably go 120, 130. I think the Mets would push that. And once you're at that point, like you've done enough. So it's going to be interesting. I think I'm going to be in on the betting. I just think he's an awesome talent.
And just realize, folks, that he faces the Atlanta Braves next week.
Yes.
So the Braves offense is not clicking right now. I'll say that much. That could change by next week, but keep that in mind. The following week, he gets the Miami Marlins, though. So that's where things really matter when it comes to Christian Scott. It wouldn't be a news portion of our show, Ryan, without a key injury to a starting pitcher. So we will talk Grayson Rodriguez, who hit the IL with right shoulder inflammation. He made his start this week, woke up the next morning feeling a bit sore. The Orioles put him on the IL. As of this recording, there's been no new news on the status of his shoulder. Like you'd imagine they had imaging or something by now. No news, which kind of slightly concerns me a little bit, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I guess we'll kind of wait and see on that one. Because I look at news multiple times a day, and I've seen enough of these this year where usually you have an answer by now of what's going on. Kyle Bradish was the move that got activated in that deal. But I guess you got to wait and see how bad it is with Grayson, but it doesn't feel great.
Yeah, you got to wait. This is another one. I avoided the injury victory lap with Grayson Rodriguez. I had a column this week out on Baseball HQ looking at hidden injuries.
Yeah,
and you called it. Grayson was listed, and literally like that morning, it was announced. The the interest, the reason why I had Grayson on there is so I ran a quick thing, and this has been on Twitter a little bit this year too. I looked at the top 11 starting pitchers in fastball velocity last year. And at the time, 9 out of those 11 are currently on the IL. Grayson Rodriguez was one of the other two. And so it was just like that is not a coincidence. Do you want to wager a guess who that last?
Oh, I know who it is. He pitches Friday. He pitches Friday at home.
Hunter
in a
Green.
Ballpark where it's not great for pitching.
Hunter Green had the third highest fastball velocity among starting pitchers last year at 98.3. And he is the only one in that top 11 from last season to not be on the IL. So you're sweating bullets if you've got Hunter Green, to be honest.
Yep. Yep. Buckle up, cross your fingers, Hail Marys, whatever you believe in, figure it out, and hope things go well on that one.
What do you think? John Means coming back? I know Bradish came back today, like you said, but
it's
what
weird.
Do you think happens to Baltimore's rotation?
This is the thing with Means, and I kind of hit on it in my Substack.
You don't like
it? Because I was noticing a couple things. It's weird because their rotation right now, Burns, Bradish, Cole Urban's pitched well. Dean Kramer's pitched well. Albert Suarez has pitched well. Dean Kramer, between Urban, Kramer, and Suarez, Kramer's the only one with an option available. So you have to DFA the other two. The Means thing, you would expect him to slot into the rotation, but when they called him up, you would usually call up a reliever to fill the spot to give your arms depth, and then call up Means when the spot in the rotation came around. So it's just been a very odd way of Baltimore doing it. I'd imagine Means goes in the rotation, but with his injury situation, maybe you baby him and make him a long man. Like it's a weird deal.
Well, and like you had mentioned previously, Means has not looked good on his rehab.
No.
So maybe that goes along with the lines of moving him to the pen. But
like Roster Resource put him in as a starting pitcher in the rotation, but they haven't announced when he'll make his start, if he makes a start. That's why there's a lot of missing pieces since he was called up. That makes it feel like maybe they kind of play around with this a little bit. And I'm kind of wondering on that one. So we'll see. He could just slide into the rotation. So who knows on that one. Masataka Yoshida. Last time we talked, he was having trouble finding at-bats. And then he found at-bats and started hitting. And then he injured his thumb with ligament damage. He went on the IL. And then a day after going on the IL, reports are out there doing more testing and surgeries on the table. So just going to say, if he goes under the knife, probably a drop for me.
Agreed. And I guess now we kind of know why he wasn't playing all the time. I don't, was that, how long was that lingering for Yoshida? That's a very tough situation. Rob Refsnyder won't go away. He's playing in left field, not only against lefties, but Refsnyder did get the start the most recent game for the Red Sox, April 30th, against a righty in left field. So there's that. I don't think otherwise on the Red Sox, there's much to pick. They signed Dominic Smith.
They signed Dom Smith, baby.
Let's go. He may be the, since Bobby Dalbec is right-handed, he may be that left-handed platoon at first base.
No, he'll platoon with Cooper at first base.
Yes.
And then he could platoon in the outfield with Rob Refsnyder.
Yeah.
It's crazy that the Boston Red Sox are still competitive right now with as many injuries that they've had. It's been rough. They'll get Pivetta back. He had his rehab start on Thursday. Bayo's getting a rehab start at the beginning of next week. So knock on wood, they're getting depth back in the rotation. But yeah, it's rough.
Yeah. And if Vaughn Grissom recovers from the flu at some
He's supposed to be back on Friday. I say supposed to. As long as he stayed away from Taco Bell, we're good. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one. Nate or Nathan, depends on your proper pronunciation guide, Eovaldi left his start on Thursday after 5 1/3 innings with a right groin injury. He was dealing, again, as he's been dealing all season, Bloomfield. So Mr. Bloomboard himself, Eovaldi, has been looking great this season. But he's out with a groin injury day-to-day for now, MRI on Friday.
Yeah, he's had groin stuff before too, and it has cost him time, but it hasn't been like too bad. You just got to wait it out. Nate the Great, indeed, man. Like major uptick in whiffs so far this year. 3 ERA, which I think was even better today with his performance. I think at 8Ks. So yep. Hope for the best. And speaking of injuries, like the Rangers, we talked about the the Scherzer setback last episode. Cody Bradford has disappeared. That is suddenly a pretty thin rotation. Andrew Heaney, I think, who was actually on our Bloom board on Tuesday for the swinging strike and the ball rate, like leaders. Andrew Heaney was there. We had thought maybe his spot in the rotation was ending, but Andrew Heaney now, I guess, probably gets a little bit more run in the Rangers rotation if you are into that sort of thing.
Yep, Heaney should definitely stick around for a bit longer. A couple more bits of news here. Byron Buxton, he has a knee injury, came up limping trying to steal second base on Wednesday. The word on the street was he was going through a bunch of tests on Thursday. Did not hear anything yet. We'll probably find out Friday before their game because the Twins had the day off on Thursday. I'd expect an IL stint. To the extent of that IL stint, we'll see. But the fact he couldn't finish running to second and limped off the field just didn't leave me feeling warm and fuzzy.
No. And wasn't his injury where the umpire yelled at him to get off the field? Did you see that?
Yeah. These umps, there's been some very bad, these umps forget there's a lot more mics than there used to be. We're picking up on some stuff like bad stuff these days.
Yeah, that was not a good scene. That was not a good scene, yelling at an injured guy to get off the field. The Buxton news, it's Buxton, so you kind of expect it. I don't know what they'll do in center. They just platoon so many guys. Whatever it'll be, it'll be some kind of platoon. I know that's analysis, but maybe Willie Castro has played a little bit of center, gets more run, who's also third base, and maybe shortstop eligible already.
He's all over the place. It's wild what he's been up to so far. So pretty cool stuff there from Willie. Last bit I got here, Chaz McCormick. He has been dealing with a hamstring injury. He officially went on the IL with a hamstring injury on Wednesday. They called up a utility infielder from AAA at below 200, so don't worry about that. When it comes to the replacement coming off there. But Chaz, he's been struggling. Maybe this has something to do with it. Hopefully he gets better soon and comes back because it's been a rough go to start the season.
Yeah, I probably should have had Chaz in that hidden injury column. Whenever you see just a total collapse in skills like that from someone who isn't really that old, you just get curious. So upcoming Fab legend, Joey Loperfido.
Fido. What I was told, could be wrong. I'm not the expert at this. So
gets more run. The John Singleton's up and playing looks like most days. So he's probably John Singleton is probably their everyday first baseman.
That's what it seems like. When Loperfido was called out, they said he'd play outfield primarily. And then on Thursday, the Astros faced their first left-handed starter since he was called up, and he was not in the starting lineup. So hopefully it's not a platoon situation. We'll have to kind of wait and see how that plays out.
Yep. Good call.
Yeah. It might not be a full-time gear. Cause for those that maybe didn't listen on Tuesday, we talked Tyler Black, Loperfido, and was it Mason Beck that got called up or?
Yes.
Tristan Beck. I think we kind of we didn't rank them officially, but based on our discussion, it was Black.
Jordan Beck.
Sorry. There's a lot of Becks actually.
Rod Beck.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to stop. I think I'd rank them Black, Beck, and Loperfido this weekend in Fab. I don't know about you.
I'm thinking maybe Black second, but that's probably accurate. I think Black has the most playing time run of the three.
Yep. That's kind of what I'm feeling. So just for those that maybe didn't listen on Tuesday, that's how we broke them down deeper. So maybe go tune in. Not on the outline, really not a lot of deep diving on this. Just wanted to mention it was announced on Thursday. Gerrit Cole's been playing catch lately. He's targeting a mid-June return. So that's a month and a half still. If you're rostering Gerrit Cole, just realize it's at least, barring any setbacks, a month and a half. You're not dropping him, especially if you waited this long. Just keep that in the back of your mind. It's going to be a little while. So
a pitcher you might drop, just to tag on to that, is Merrill Kelly, who has moved to the 60-day IL and somewhat of a news dump transaction. They're like, we signed, I forget who it was.
They traded for Bowman from Minnesota.
Yeah, they traded for Bowman. And not in fine print, but and Merrill Kelly's been moved to the 60-day IL. So I think Merrill, I dropped him in a lot of 15s last week. I think Merrill Kelly is now a firm drop.
And then this, again, it was pretty interesting. D-backs gave a bunch of updates the other day, and like they updated with, you know, Gallon's information and E-Rod and all this. When they hit on E-Rod, they flat out said, we didn't do our best job. We should have tested more before we, you know, decided to let him start throwing it again. Yeah. I was like, that's like,
New York at least Mets. At least they admitted it.
That just feels like New York Mets from like 5 years ago when every pitcher was just a wreck. So yeah, interesting stuff there. All right. Week 7, Fab preview. What are your initial takeaways, Mr. Bloomfield, from the schedule we are looking at here for the week?
All right, schedule grid's up, and we'll do our normal, just kind of see where it takes us when we kind of run through every team and what the schedule looks like. Fewer games than in most weeks. We've got 5 teams with a 5-game slate, which I don't like. Just less baseball. You've got Atlanta, Baltimore, the Boston Red Sox, and then you have Toronto and Washington with 5 games. And then just eyeballing it, looks like maybe 10 teams with 7 games. So, again, doesn't like sound like a lot, but if you take the difference of 2 games, I actually ran a study on this in the Forecaster a few years ago. But like, if you have that perfect situation where you take the difference of 2 extra games every week times whatever, 25, 26 weeks, it like almost adds up to having an extra player on your team over the course of the season. I know every week is not a 7-5 decision, but over time, 2 extra games, stuff matters. And when you said before the quote unquote grind, if you've got injuries and you need to maximize at bats, which is the way to go on the hitting side, that's why we have this up here. So we've got a tie, Bubba, for the worst hitting team in baseball per WRC plus now between the Chicago White Sox and the Miami Marlins, both at 74 as a team, which is really bad. Colorado's not too far off, 77 as a team. The Dodgers are running away with the best team WRC plus at 128. It's pretty bonkers. And second place right now, ahead of the Atlanta Braves, because of William Contreras,
The
Milwaukee Brewers.
And Big Willie Double Dongs.
You can say that on this podcast, but not on...
not on the other one.
God, you were waiting for that one, weren't you?
Yep.
I saw you smile, like you were teed up for that. Jesus.
That's a little behind the scenes, folks, for me and Bloomfield right there, bringing it live to you guys on the show. All right, let's talk some schedules for the week here. We'll go team by team as usual. It is a bummer to see all these 5-game slates. We'll kick off with a 6-gamer, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have all road games, 3 in Cincinnati, 3 at Baltimore, 2 lefties, 4 righties. We usually love to target Great American. So what are we thinking on this one?
Yeah, the Great American ballpark for the first 3 is pretty sweet. And that's if you're going to take this. So every time we mention the Diamondbacks, we thus mention Jake McCarthy and Jock Peterson, because those are the 2 effective platoon bats on that team. McCarthy's leading off against right-handed pitching. It's kind of a split week. So the at Cincinnati, I think, is all against right-handed pitching. So if you want to start with McCarthy, Peterson for the first half of the week, and then Baltimore is obviously a much tougher park and potentially rotation, although, I don't know, Urban means Kramer, you're not going to get McCarthy or Peterson much in that weekend series. So maybe McCarthy, Peterson just for that those first 3 games next week.
And that's another way when we're talking about maximizing at bats early on. If you have those biweekly like NFBC formats, you can make moves just for parts of the week, not the whole week as well, to maximize situations. Like I know Kirtland was all over. Yastrzemski is the only guy in the main event that grabbed him this week because they had the 3 righties in Boston. Yastrzemski gave him a home run. He's going to probably sit him for the rest of the week. So little ways to kind of maximize things if you can, because most of us are stashing injured people. A lot more complicated than in years past.
It's like an easy and most of my teams I'm not in a position to do like half week moves, but bless you if you can.
Yes, if you can, kudos. All right, we're gonna start with 3 straight 5 game weeks here, starting off with the Atlanta Braves. They get the Boston Red Sox at home for 2, and then at the New York Mets for 3. four right-handed pitchers out of the five, the one lefty being Jose Quintana of the New York Mets.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, there's usually not too much to tell. Even with the five games, you're never benching a Braves stud. I think I put this out earlier this week, just speaking of the Braves, since there's not really much of like a takeaway, I think. Their studs have been bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legitimately bad.
And they still have a 117 WRC plus.
And they, yes, Marcelo Zuna has not been bad. Even the team in general, I don't know their record off the top of my head, but they are up there, and they've lost Spencer Strider too on the pitching side. So, like, Atlanta, it's been an interesting season. Like, Austin Riley has two home runs. Matt Olson has three home runs. Acuna has one home run. Acuna's only hitting 252. Matt Olson's hitting 206. Austin Riley's hitting 235. Those were all top 20 picks entering the season. They're all going to be fine, but like, it's crazy to see what Atlanta's doing without much of anything from Acuna, Riley, and Olson.
Be very fearful when they have a month where they hit about 45 home runs and just destroy everybody, because it will come. It will. Yes. I'm not worried about any of these guys, really.
I'm not either.
Just be very, very scared when your pitching comes up against the Braves here in a few months. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep.
It's going to happen. Baltimore Orioles, they have five games as well here. Two at the Washington Nationals, three at home against Arizona, four righties on the docket. Their first game of the week their second game, Parker, is a lefty. Otherwise, they finish with three righties in the D-backs.
Yes, and so I don't know. Baltimore is, you're either starting their, starting their studs, or they're platooning kind of their non-studs in a five-game week. Not very attractive to me. Like even like a Ryan O'Hearn, who we've talked about a lot. You're only getting those four games. It's tough. I mean, the righties. It's Brandon Pfaadt and Zach Gallen, two of the four. So like, I don't know. It's not a perfect week for Baltimore bats. I wonder if we will see Heston Kjerstad. That's what I'm keeping an eye on.
Yeah, he's not getting much run, so it's a rough go. I think he's going to get sent back one of these days. Boston Red Sox, they got five games as well. Two at the Atlanta Braves, three at home against the Washington Nationals. Three lefties, two righties. That makes for an insanely difficult stream week.
Yes, yeah. And so, we were just talking about the roster there. Like, it's hard to do a Dominic Smith, if you're desperate for corner, you're probably only going to play twice. Even like Willier Abreu doesn't play much against lefties. Like I think Willier Abreu is surging right now, but like, I'm probably benching him next week if he's only going to play two, maybe three games.
Yeah. Like in reality, we joke about it a lot. If for some reason you want to stream Boston, Ref Schneider is your dude. Let's go throw it out there. Because he hit three lefties.
He'll play three, maybe four times.
And on the weekend, he'll get Corbin, Irvin, and Gore. I like Gore a ton, obviously, but that Corbin matchup, get all you need.
It's incredible that quintet, I think that's the word for a group of five, quintet averages a 17% strikeout to walk with Corbin included.
That's the beauty of Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale
and
Mackenzie Gore.
Yep. And Gore's Kate Walk has been really good this year as well.
Yep. Yeah. He's doing the Robbie Ray thing. Just throwing it out there. Chicago Cubs, they were back to six now. Chicago Cubs, six games this week. They get three at home against the Padres, three at the Pittsburgh Pirates, five righties on deck. And I'll say this much. I'm curious how that Pittsburgh series goes. You have Jones, Falter, Keller. Rumor has it, if all goes well this weekend, Paul Skeens can make his debut on Friday, maybe pushing Jones back. So maybe you get Skeens, Jones, and Falter on the weekend. Still three righties, but could be fun.
Yep, it would be a home game for Pittsburgh, so it might make sense for them to do that. They need to.
They do.
Definitely need to. In terms of streams here with the Cubs, like, I picked up Matt Mervis in a couple spots last week. He hasn't done anything yet. It's just been a couple games. PCA. Pico Armstrong is playing well every day, and at least against righties, and at least to start, hitting 250 with a homer, five RBI, and 22 plate appearances. Strikeout rates in the low 20s, making some hard contact. I like PCA as a pickup this week if he hasn't already been scooped.
Yeah, Talkman and PCA will be your guys. They had a heavy right-handed lineup schedule this past week, so I'm guessing most are already taken. If not, go peep them and look into them for this next week.
Yep.
One of the worst offenses in baseball, the Chicago Cubs, are one of the 7-game weeks on the schedule, and they play 3 at the Tampa Bay Rays, then 4 at home against the Cleveland Guardians, 5 righties in those 7 games. It's a good set of righties to target, honestly, outside of Eflin. Yeah. But yes. It's the White Sox, baby. Tommy Pham should be taken because he's, you know, an Adonis. But what else are you seeing here?
I mean, you like Gavin Sheets?
I've dropped him in a couple spots last week because in 12s, he gets a hit here and there, but he's not doing it. He's got power, so it wouldn't shock me if he put it together. But there was other like streams, like the Twins guys this past week and stuff like that. I'd rather Pete Crow Armstrong, stuff like that I was looking at.
Yeah, I don't see really anything, assuming Pham is already grabbed. Yes, it's a 7-game week. Yes, the opposition is not much, but I'm actually curious your take on this catcher guy. What do you think of Corey Lee? Already has 3 homers this year, 19% K rate, hitting .255 with some barrels, and starting to, at least he started 3 of the last 4 games for the White Sox over Martin Maldonado. Mm-hmm. Second catcher,
He was a fourth catcher in a lot of my DCs because yep. I thought he was talented enough. I got a lot of backlash, people saying he was horrible offensive catcher, this, that, and the other. And I said he had like a handful of professional games. So I think his minor league numbers are pretty good. I believe he came up from the Astros system in a trade. I don't mind as a catcher too in 15-team leagues for sure. In 12s, you should probably have better options, I think. In 15s, though, I can see the appeal to ride the hot bat and see where it keeps going, because I think there's enough talent there as a catcher too.
Yep, and you're probably getting 4 starts from Corey Lee next week.
Yes, so at least for sure. So, yeah, I think there's at least something there in your deeper formats. The way catchers are kind of dwindling at the moment, that he could fill in some holes for you. Cincinnati Reds, they have 6 games this week: 3 at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks, 3 at the San Francisco Giants. 3 lefties and 3 righties.
Yeah, not great, because the Reds that are available to you are platooners, most likely. So you've got some kind of combination of Nick Martini. You've got the other Bubba Thompson, who's on the team but hasn't started any of the last 6 games. So what are we really doing there? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Santiago Espinal, but like, you've got to be pretty desperate to go for Espinal. So no, I'm not really looking at any Reds this week.
Well, here we go. Time to go back to Will Brennan for the 12th straight week. Yeah, Cleveland Guardians. That's it. They have 7 games. They get the Detroit Tigers at home for 3, and then at the Chicago White Sox, which is always a nice spot to circle on a weekly schedule. 6 right-handed pitchers in the 7 games. I think we've recommended Will Brennan every week for at least 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yes, and we will do the same this week. Only hitting .228, but 4 homers, 2 bags already. That's, come on, not bad. 16% K rate for Will Brennan. Going to recommend him again. Yep. I didn't realize this, but Andrés Giménez, quietly, at least to me, is not playing against or starting against left-handed pitching.
Left-handed pitching.
So, I don't know. It doesn't really matter too much for this week, but Andrés Giménez is one of those. I mean, you spent a pretty good pick on him, and it looks like he might be in a platoon.
That's surprising, honestly. That's really surprising. So, I guess we'll keep an eye on that one. Josh Taylor, on the other hand, is hitting everything. So, that's glorious to see.
Unlike,
that's interesting him in his, unlike his brother, Bo. Yes.
Unlike his brother. It's been a...
I'm still holding out hope for Bo, though. I don't know. I'm still holding out hope for him. Maybe it's blind.
Again, this is why we kind of do the schedule stuff. It just lets us highlight certain guys that we haven't really talked about. But like, man, 186 batting average, 38% K rate for Bo Naylor.
The K rate's disgusting. That's not like him. That's the weird part. So
yeah, it was 23% last year. To go from 23 to 30, that's got to be one of the biggest increases in strikeout rate from last year to this year of any player.
Yep, his brother needs to take him to the batting cage and, you know, big brother, little brother conversation on that one. Yep. Colorado Rockies, just barely the 3rd worst team in baseball offensively. They have 6 games this week, all in Coors Field. 3 against the Giants, 3 against the Texas Rangers, 2 lefties, 4 righties. You can cunt Hunter Goodwin now. That's ridiculous. But it's what else you liking here?
Jordan Beck. Yep. Again, I think that's the move if you want some outfield help and to get those, yeah, to get those 6 home games. Like, let's go. Let's see what he can do.
Yep, here's your chance to shine, kid, because not much else is in Colorado. Detroit Tigers, they have 6 games this week, 3 at the Cleveland Guardians, 3 at home against the Houston Astros, 4 right-handed pitchers on deck this week, one of the better hitting situations. And I'll say this much, those Tigers bats, they've been swinging it pretty good over the last week or so. Like Riley Green's heating up, Carpenter at his moments, Vierling starting to hit. Like, there's a lot of good fantasy streams on a bad team right here.
Wensiel Perez?
He's playing well, too, as long as he'll sit versus lefties, but he'll play versus righties. So, yeah. Good week.
And they get, yeah, and the Tigers get 4 against, that's one of the softer pitching staffs of any team that we'll see this week. So, I mean, Wensiel Perez, he actually played their last game against a lefty. He started.
So that's starting now, because that originally when he got called up, because I had a question like a week ago when I was doing lineup stuff with Curlin, and he was not starting against lefties. So if that changes, very intriguing, because there's a nice hit tool, 3 homers, 2 steals already to start this little short part of the season.
Right. Hitting basically 300 with a 21% K rate. And the big thing for me, at least for these prospects, is like, how does the hit tool translate? And Wensiel Perez has a 8% whiff rate, and he's not chasing. So the plate approach looks really good. Hitting 3rd against righties, I think if you need some outfield help, I would go look at Wensiel Perez this week.
I like that. That might be one of my favorite ones we talked about thus far, because he might actually have viability going forward. So definitely liking that. Our buddy Michael Cicchini says, my boy Riley Green leads baseball in walk percentage, is like 6 in barrel percentage.
Yeah.
Wensiel has some speed. Yeah, Green's starting to get it going. So yep. There's a lot to like there. And Steven,
they could just get Torque going. Like, that'd be great.
Yeah, Torque is actually interesting on Torque. So was it Wednesday they had the day game, and one of their beat writers was basically giving a play-by-play of each of his at-bats. First at-bat, he walks just a heater right down the middle, just watches it. Then goes 0-2 and swings at garbage. Next at-bat, first pitch heater, lines a base hit. So basically what he's insinuating, if you dig into the profile of Torkelson, he needs to be more aggressive at the plate. Like, it's very cut and dry. And just those 2 at-bats alone, he was trying to tell us via tweets that this is the problem right now. Like, he's really sitting back too much.
Which is fixable.
Yep. Yep. So I would be very, and plus it's been cold in Detroit. Just give Torque some time. Like, I'm not giving up on that boy just yet.
Yep.
Houston Astros, 6 games this week, all on the road. 3 at the Yankees, 3 at the Detroit Tigers, 2 lefties and 4 righties. You mentioned Singleton, Low Perfido. What are you liking?
Mentioned Singleton, Low Perfido. That's pretty much it. But again, potentially only 4 games. For those 2. So like, John Singleton's pretty fringe to begin with. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. So I don't know, 4 games. That's not that appealing. And again, Low Perfido, I think, is going to be quite pricey in fab, and I'm not willing to go there given the risk of a platoon and the strikeout rate that I think might cause some bumps in the road in the big leagues for him.
Totally agree with you there. Kansas City Royals, they have 7 games this week. 3 at home against the Milwaukee Brewers, 4 on the road versus Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And it's a tricky one, Ryan. 3 lefties and 4 righties.
It's a tricky one, but it's a tricky from left and right, but it's beautiful from a, I guess, non-Freddy Peralta division. That's a crew to go against. Colin Ray, Joe Ross, Reed Detmers started hot, but he's decent. But then Griffin Canning,
Canning's pitching better, just no strikeouts.
Dude, Anderson's awful.
Pitched well.
Anderson, Sandoval. That's a dream schedule. I don't know. Yeah, the problem is the 3-4 lefty righty, because I've talked about Kyle Isbell a little bit too much on this podcast, but like, he's not that great, but he comes up every week. Mount Massey. Michael Massey is
someone. I'll give you a shout out on that one. He's been money for you.
He's been good. The problem is, I don't know if he plays against lefties, and Kansas City gets 3 of them. So something to keep an eye on. But I think Michael Massey, even as a longer term pickup, definitely in 15 team leagues, is definitely viable. I think he's going to play every day against righties and fixture in that lineup, and he's got some skill. So,
yep, don't hate that at all. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 7 games this week. They get 3 at Pittsburgh, 4 at home against Kansas City, 2 lefties, 5 righties. The mascot will be in full force this week.
Yep.
Mascot, as if he wasn't already in full
force. I mean, he's already locked in, dude.
Yep.
Rengifo's hitting, what, 320, I think, after? Dude,
he's a beast.
326, 9 bags, 2 steals, 16% K rate. Power hasn't been there, but man.
He's hit 2 homers like the past week. It's coming.
And playing every season. I mean, predictably the Angels have been snake bit. So I don't know. We start going on Rengifo. I don't even care who else is on the team. You got Taylor Ward. Taylor Ward's there. Brandon Drury's low key been terrible this year.
Joe Adell's still there if he's available. That's
a Joe Adell, if available, I think is locked in near the top of that lineup. But other than that, man, it's starting to get real dicey.
Real quick.
Your boy, Kevin Pillar.
My boy, Kevin. Okay, your boy, Nick Demoniak.
You knew what team he was on before the Angels, which is more than 99% of us, at least me.
That's funny stuff. Los Angeles Dodgers, best offense in baseball, gets 6 games this week. They get the Marlins at home for 3, then on the road for 3 in San Diego. So a short little trip south for the Dodgers. 2 lefties potentially, because Braxton Garrett should be back on Monday, barring something weird. And 4 righties for the week. Problem is finding an available Dodger.
Right. Finding available Dodger. The ones that are available are platooning, like your James Outman, Gavin Lux, Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez. And when you go 2-4 in a 2-4 lefty righty in a week, it's tough to play that game. So if Andy Páez is somehow still out there.
Yes. Fix that immediately.
Go. He's been really good, but yeah, not too much to do here with the Dodgers. They should crush.
Question I had for you, because we just did both Los Angeles teams. Would you rather have Andy Páez or Joe Adell?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That was DM'd to me this week.
I'll go Páez. Better Adele. Lineup and hasn't had the lows of Adell.
I went Adell because I don't think there's any platoon risks. Not like Páez is still playing every day. But I also think that I said I go Adell, but Páez has the higher ceiling, if that's what you're going for. So that it's really, really close.
It's close. It's close.
Very, very close.
It's good. It's a good pull.
The Miami Marlins, they are tied for the worst offense in baseball, as you mentioned earlier, and they have 6 games this week. They get 3 at the Los Angeles Dodgers, 3 at home against the Philadelphia Phillies. That's no wonder they have an off day going from LA to Miami. Like that's scheduling, folks. 5 lefties this week, something you rarely ever see.
I think
Bueller, Yamamoto, Stone. No, it's 5 righties, 1 lefty. Yeah, 5 righties, 1 lefty. So we get to your boy Jesus Sanchez again.
I'm making note. I don't like when my sheet's not right, man. My boy, who? Who'd you say?
Your boy, Jesus Sanchez.
Yeah, we'll get him. Who else will we get? It's probably my other boy, Nick Gordon.
Yeah, no, that's about it. That's about it, Ryan. We're just going to call it right there. Let's not get cute and just throw them all out there.
Dude, that's an awful lineup.
Yes, it's the Angels are encroaching on the awfulness of Miami. Miami's is bad. There's a reason why Miami and Chicago White Sox have the 2 worst WRC pluses right now. It's brutal.
Agreed. But Jesus Sanchez is a legitimate pickup this week, I think. Hitting 236, 4 steals, and only 2 homers, but the power's there. Power's there. So I like Jesus Sanchez this week, as in most weeks when Miami plays righties.
As long as Jesus actually hustles and doesn't get pulled from the game, he's going to be a great stream. Let's put it that way, because that boy's got some issues in that regard. Milwaukee Brewers, the Fighting Williams, 7 games this week. They get 3 at Kansas City, and then 4 at home with divisional games against the St. Louis Cardinals. 5 right-handed pitchers. Here's where we start talking Black and a couple other options here.
Yes, Tyler Black. I mean, so much is just like, can you hit the ground running when you get called up? Like, the microscope is on you. Tyler Black's going to have every chance to not only play, but like, he's hitting so weird. He's hitting like third or fourth as like a speed first baseman. It's like everything that's backwards about what you would think about a first baseman hitting cleanup. Is Tyler Black, but great opportunity for Tyler Black. If you maybe want some Sal Frelick, if he's still available. I don't know how has he been good this year.
He's been hitting towards the top of the order, which gives him his fantasy been leading off.
Yeah, 250. Blake, hasn't hit a homer yet. Four steals. Like
Blake Perkins feels more fantasy relevant, but when Black showed up, Perkins went down to eighth and ninth most games, which kind of puts a damper on things.
Yeah. So keep an eye on Tyler Black.
Tyler Black. It was pretty cool on the debut day. Beck Black and Lou Perfetto all got their first career hits on the same day. That was pretty sweet. So
that was cool. Are there any suspensions? Was Abner Uribe?
Well, Abner Uribe got a 6-game suspension and got demoted on the same day. So that's like, good. How you doing?
How does that work? Does he have to serve the suspension in AAA or when he gets called back up?
I thought it was when he get called back up. That's what I thought. I don't know. He's appealing it. So is Freddy Peralta, who has a 5-game suspension, and Jose.
My man's appealing it from AAA.
Yeah, that's a tough one to get appeals in AAA. The Savannah banana is going to come down and hold court for you, or how's that going to go? So, well, we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, Uribe, once closer, now AAA-er for the Milwaukee Brewers. That's how quickly that changed, real quick. So don't blink. Minnesota Twins, feels like we had this conversation last week with them. Their team is hitting very well because they have their rally sausage, if you've seen that. That's a lot of fun. They have 7 games this week, 4 at home against Seattle, 3 at the Toronto Blue Jays, 6 right-handed pitchers. So a lot of the same pickups we like last week.
Yep.
Do it again this week.
Yep. And Trevor Larnach's really the dude, but probably picked up everywhere because he is hitting 370. Good Lord. The only thing I'll say about the schedule is they do get, I mean, Seattle is just so good. That rotation, like, I mean, to get Luis, it is the 6 righties, but it's Luis Castillo. It's George Kirby. It's Logan Gilbert. It's Gossman. Like, that may be an Alec Manoah start at the end of next week. I have Yariel Rodriguez in there, but he's on the IL. So it might be Alec Manoah as if we're trying to project that far out, but yeah, for Minnesota, like, yes, they have hit better lately. It will be a tough go though against some pretty elite starting pitchers. One of the tougher matchups, from just a opponent skill level of the week.
And I know we mentioned it earlier and he's probably rostered in most formats, but if Willie Castro is somehow available, fix that is what I would say. He's playing a ton and running like crazy. So, yeah, do something about that if you can. I'm trying to find the roster rate for you. Big Willie, he's 86% rostered in OCs right now. So just kind of peek at that if you can.
What's Larnach? Larnach is, in 12-teamers. No, that can't be right. Yeah. 12-teamers, Larnach is what, 20% rostered?
Yeah, 19%. And I added them in most of my leagues last week. So, yeah, that one. I think because last week we had so many other options, like Kepler, Larnach. There was a ton of streamers this last week when it came to hitters. Like, I remember my sheet I made last week, a lot longer than this week so far. When it
comes and to Ryan streamers. O'Donnell in the chat, Kepler is around 50% in 12. So there's despite the tougher schedule for the Twins, going lefty righty is quite formidable with them.
There's Kirilloff 77% in 12s as well. So Eric Altman, is any chance Larnach is actually good now, or is he just hot and plain? I could say a little of both, maybe. I know that the tools are there. He was a top prospect, top draft pick at one time. Was hurt a lot last year, a lot of up and downs. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it could be just a hot streak, too. I wouldn't be shocked at the same time.
I mean, more than, and obviously not 370. The guy hit 213 last year, but It's interesting that the K rate has dropped so much for Trevor Larnach from 34 down to 22%. But again, like I was saying on the Tuesday show, skills can, I mean, you can be hot in K rate too. It's not just because you have a 22% K rate for a month, it's going to stay that way. He's well over his skis right now, but I do think Trevor Larnach in the right, in right-handed heavy weeks is, I think, even 12 team rosterable, startable. And definitely yep. in 15s. I think the power is there. It's just a question of what will that strikeout rate look like over time? Like, will it be a 213 batting average like it was last year, or can it be 250, 260? I think it can be 250, 260.
And honestly, we might be burying the lead here. Carlos Santana is 7% owned, and he is actually hitting it very well for the last week. I'm not even placating you. He's playing very well of late. Switch hitters, he'll play lefties and righties. Like, that's a dude, if you need a corner infielder, is a guy to keep an eye on.
Hey, no one likes the Twins.
Yeah, there's a lot of rosterable Twins, and they're one of the hottest offenses in baseball. Heck, on the sheet, a 110 WRC plus, nothing to shake a stick at. Like, that's pretty good. So
that's great.
Yeah.
What the hell?
So, yeah. Come on, focus. People. Let's go. All right. Maybe I should use some of this for my my auction league teams.
Touche, my friend.
Yes. Back at us. New York Mets, they have six games this week, three at the St. Louis Cardinals, three at home against the Atlanta Braves, two lefties and four righties. Go get your no, I can't even say DJ Stewart.
No. The interesting thing though, and this isn't so like JD Martinez is back. I don't know how often he's gonna play. Like, he's not playing every day. He's already sat twice. He was delayed with a back injury. Like, I have a lot of JD Martinez in 15 team leagues. From a pure like weekly standpoint, he's kind of a tough start, man. Because the Mets get six games, like, he may only play four times a week. And that's so, obviously, I don't know. Like, we talk a lot in these Fab episodes about like ads, but like, is JD Martinez a drop in some formats just because, like, I don't know. I think they're going to rest that back at least once or twice every week.
Yeah, that's a real possibility. And if that's the case, then at least in 12s, it's going to be a difficult play. He's hitting 318, which is great, but like, no, he's got two doubles out of his seven hits, one RBI so far, almost a 40% K rate. So timing might still be off when it comes to mm-hmm. JD. It's such a tough drop, obviously. That's Captain Obvious stuff. But at 15s, you still got a hold to start's a different story. In 12s, there's a conversation for a drop, that's for sure. This is kind of what I was thinking. Michael says, could be easing JD in, I hope. Could be. But
could be, yep.
When do they stop easing them in is a million-dollar question.
100% rostered in 12-teamers, so yeah. No one's doing it yet. But the thought has entered my mind, at least.
Lead the movement. All right, New York Yankees on this one. They're swinging it real. Gleyber Torres even went yard recently. Six games this week for the Yankees. They get three at home against the Astros, three on the road against Tampa Bay, five right-handed pitchers.
Yeah, but really nothing actionable. Trent Grisham
doesn't do it for you?
Trent Grisham does not do it for me, though he has started the last four games in center. No, doesn't do it for me.
No, he doesn't. He shouldn't. He should not. All right.
He's only 27, dude. It feels like Trent Grisham's 34 years old.
He's the Salvi Perez of the outfield. I remember a couple of years ago when Salvi's only 29. What are we doing here right now?
The Greg Oden contenders.
Greg Oden contenders. Yep. Here we go. The good old stuff.
I forget who you originally comped to Greg Oden.
It was Yordan Alvarez.
Oh yeah,
with the bad
with knees. His like bulky ass knees, yeah. And he's like 25. That was it.
It was Yordan Alvarez. Yep, that's the one. I got you. Eric Halterman thinks they're ramping him up. 2-on-1-off, 3-on-1-off looks like ramping up to JD.
Yeah, so. Hope so.
Yep, works for me. All right, one of the best stories and most entertaining watches in baseball right now: the Oakland Athletics. They got seven games this week. They get four at home against the Texas Rangers, three at the Seattle Mariners, six right-handed pitchers. Again, you got to face the Mariners, which is the opposite of the White Sox when it comes to pitching. But six righties, you got your Lawrence Butlers of the world. Nevin is playing against everybody and hitting a hot, like hitting very, very well. They have sent Nota back down because JD Davis comes back on Thursday. There are some pieces to the puzzle if you're feeling frisky with the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, and I was going to get all excited about Lawrence Butler, but he is hitting 185, 28% K rate, but has some power speed if you're very desperate. But you're right. I don't know. Despite the feel good story, the major league story here. Yeah. I don't know. That's a tough schedule, even though it's mostly righties.
Dude, if they win like 5 out of 7 next week, oh, yeah, it'd be so odd.
Start peeling off some paper. Start
peeling off the layers, folks. It's coming.
Do you like Tyler Nevin?
He's swinging a red hot bat right now. Power's there. He's got like an 8 or 9 game hitting streak with like 3 home runs, playing every day, hitting second since Geloff's been out. Like, there's a lot to like from a fantasy perspective. Now, the matchups this week, like you said, not the most ideal situations, but he's going to get every opportunity to play. He plays lefties and righties, so it doesn't matter in that regard.
All right. I like it. I think he's probably the best pickup out of any A, which.
Yep. I think so. Says a lot.
You won the NIT. Congratulations.
Hey, participation trophies.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Phillies, they got 6 games this week. Weird one here. They get 1 at home against the Giants. Then they get 2 at home against Toronto. And then 3 at the Miami Marlins. 4 right-handed pitchers on set for Philadelphia. Most people will be rostered there, but anybody standing out to you?
No, not really. We had some Bryson Stott worry. I think he'll be fine, but no, there's nothing really actionable for the Phillies that I see. It's a good schedule though.
Really good schedule. It's tough to piece it together because not as many platoons. Like Brandon Marsh is the obvious one if he's still available, but he's even cooled down. So tricky in that regard.
A lot of airline miles.
A lot of airline. Well, now they're at home for the first 4.
Oh yeah, well, never mind. You're good. I can't read the at symbol.
You want my glasses or how's that going for you?
I might need them. That was bad.
Pittsburgh Pirates, they got 6 games this week. All at home. They get the Angels for 3, the Cubs for 3, but it's 3 lefties and 3 righties.
Yeah, so your rowdies, your Jack Sawinskis, your Connor Joes, Edward Oliveras, those are kind of your platoon guys. The 3-3 split is very difficult. Not a lot of airline miles for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Nope, not at all. They're cozy at home. San Diego Padres, they have 6 games this week. They get to go to Wrigley Field for 3, and then they're flying back home to face the Los Angeles Dodgers for 3. 2 lefties, 4 righties, but man, you get our boy Shota to kick off the week. You get Glass now and a Buehler start. Oof, could be interesting. Depends on the Buehler, though.
I
was looking into that'll be his second start of the week. He's making his debut on Monday. And I think it's 9 or 10 walks in his 21 innings. It's the typical coming back from Tommy John command thing. So I'm still a little wary on what we're going to get from Buehler out the gate, but he still is Walker Buehler if he figures it out.
Yeah, you kind of wonder if that's a Buehler Yarbrough start, at least to begin. I don't know. Padres, no, there's really nothing, to be honest. Yep. Their good guys are rostered and their platoon guys are not. So
the one I will throw out there, talked about him a little bit last week. If he continues to get playing time, especially against right-handed pitching and making sure he's still hitting, is Graham Pauly. Not hitting for a big average. I'll admit that out the gate. Dude's got ridiculous power. Just needs consistent playing time. So Graham Pauly would be one. But again, you know, the matchups are pretty tricky this week. But someone maybe at least in deeper leagues to keep an eye on. San Francisco Giants. They get your airline mile award of the week, Bloomfield. They have 7 games. Their first one's at Philadelphia.
You're right.
Yeah, first at Philadelphia, then 3 at Colorado, and then 3 at home against Cincinnati. So you get 7 games on the week. You get 3 left-handed pitchers. You get 4 right-handed pitchers and 3 different ballparks.
It's a doozy. Mm-hmm. It's a doozy. What do you think they do? How many wins out of 7 this week?
Man, they've been rough on the road. So you got Sanchez. That's a loss. Hudson, Lambert, Quantrill. They better at least win 2 out of those 3. My goodness. That's in Coors, and then Abbott, Lodello, Martin. I think they win 4 games.
All right. Yeah, the Coors, Hudson, Lambert, Quantrill, like it's just golden. So first half of the week with those 4 with those four games. And even like Christopher
Sanchez. Those are all righties too.
And they are, yep, they are all righties. So maybe some Yaz in the non-Curlin division and yes. And Lamont Wade.
Yes.
Conforto, Yaz, Lamont, is Conforto taken everywhere?
I'll check. He should be. Most people gave up on him.
He's 96% in 12, so he's pretty much gone.
Yeah, even Patrick Bailey's up to 96. I'm proud of you guys. But yeah, Lamont and Yaz would be the ones I would definitely take a peek at. And go from there. Wade's, like I was saying, I said last show or last week, Wade is swinging it really well. Just not playing every day. So two guys to keep an eye on for at least the first half of the week, and then gets ugly after that. Seattle Mariners, they have seven games this week. They got the Minnesota Twins for four in Minnesota. Then they come home for three against the Oakland Athletics. That's a pretty nice matchup considering six are right-handed pitchers.
Yes, and in deeper formats, Josh Rojas is leading off every day against righties for the Mariners, hitting over 300, three homers, two steals, 15% strikeout rate, and hitting for some power early on. So Josh Rojas is hot, and like I said, leading off, I like that pickup quite a bit this week.
Yeah, I hope I agree running with it while you can. I remember doing this last year with him, and then he fell into the river.
But the Puget Sound. Go on, get your geography.
The lake, the river, the sound, the inlet, the island, whatever you want to call it up there. He fell into the fish market and got all stinky.
Yeah, no, it is a ride it while he's hot and like a weekly streamer thing. But six righty, that could be six games at leadoff and a bunch of those against Oakland. So,
all right, you got your St. Louis Cardinals. They got seven games on the week. They get the New York Mets at home for three and then go on the road to Miami. Or no, it is Milwaukee. Milwaukee for four. For now, it looks like six righties. You got Peralta on there twice because we don't know what Peralta's doing. So it's going to be five or six righties on the week, which bodes well for your some of your deeper outfielders in that team.
Like Alec Barrel season? Alec Burleson?
Look at you.
He is not. He is not a – he does not barrel it up, but Alec Burleson is a semi-decent play, hitting 270 with two homers. Nothing crazy, but just a body. I know you really like Mason Winn. Yes. Probably widely rostered, right?
He should be by now.
74% in 12 teamers.
It's getting better. And don't panic. Winn will sit occasionally because he's been dealing with a back issue the entire season. So they give him like occasional days off just to rest. So don't panic about that. He'll still play. You know, they have seven games. He probably plays at least five, if not six of them.
Okay.
Just buckle up for that. He's been playing darn good. Tampa Bay Rays, they have six games on the week, all at home in Tampa Bay, five righties, one lefty, White Sox, Yankees. So they start the week with so good of a matchup situation.
I know. The beginning of that week is beautiful.
Come on, Randy.
I know. This is the week for Randy. This is a half week for Richie Palacios. Outside of that.
Yeah, it's tough not after much. That. Richie's been playing really well with you on that one. Yes. Texas Rangers, they have seven games on the road this week. They get four at Oakland, three at Colorado, four righties, three lefties. Man, it sucks it's 3-4 because that is a awesome schedule.
I know. It's like the park factors are bad than good, but like the whole everything about this is beautiful. The problem is like, yeah, lefty, righty, and like, I don't know. Leody Taveras, this would be the week for him to start doing something. I feel like pretty much everyone else. Josh Smith has been all right. I think hit a homer last couple days. So, everyone else I think is rostered everywhere. So, Josh Smith, Leody Taveras, in with the seven games, like those guys pretty much play every day. Yeah. And yeah, that schedule's beautiful at Oakland, at Colorado.
Yeah, I was looking at their roster. There's not a whole lot of platoons there. So if you got your Rangers, enjoy the week. It's the best thing I can say. Toronto Blue Jays, they have five games this week. They get two at Philly, three at home against Minnesota, all right-handed pitching. So if you can play bi-weekly, three games at home with first righties. But it is Ryan, Simeon Woods-Richardson, and Bailey Ober, which is not a cakewalk.
Yeah, this is the toughest schedule of any team. It's only the five games, and it's Wheeler, Nola, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober, like, I don't know how good Woods Richardson will be, but that's God. And Toronto has a lot of just like Bichette, Vlad, just guys who are not doing anything.
Yep, not good at all. And we finish it up with the Washington Nationals. They get five games as well this week. They have the Baltimore Orioles at home for two, and they go to Boston for three. All right-handed pitchers as well. Not the easiest of schedule also.
Nope, not the easiest of schedule. And I mean, you do get the five righties. I don't know, like
Winker.
Yeah, he's playing Luis, every day no matter what. But Luis Garcia, Winker. Eddie Rosario, but he's been awful this year.
He's been horrific. I can't even support that. Like he'd be DFA'd if they wanted to actually pay James Wood.
I don't know why. I love Eddie Eagle, but God, it's been horrible.
Nick Senzel, is that doing anything for you?
Yeah, he's hitting second every day.
Yeah. He's playing well. The other one I'll mention is Jacob Young. He's 70%. We talked about him last week. Dude keeps stealing bases. Yep. Keeps stealing bases. So if you need steals, that's a dude. The other one I'll mention, he's been getting more playing time of late, is the 32-year-old. And okay, I apologize right now because I'm going to butcher this name.
Oh, yes, you are.
I'm saying Ivargas. Ivargas is playing nearly every day. He's hitting fifth pretty much every single day. And he went hitless on Thursday, but he had a five-game hitting streak, and he hit seven of his last eight prior to the day, hitting .321, two stolen bases, no homers, but playing a ton, 10% K rate, 12% walk rate. Like, that's a dude playing a lot. If you're at least in deeper leagues, maybe just stream for the week. I know it's only five games. That's the bad part, but yeah.
Bill DeMauro Vargas.
Did you look it up on Baseball Reference?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Appreciate that. So, yeah, that's one there. Anything else for Washington?
No, covered it pretty good. Michael in the chat, Senzel hit four bombs in 5 days. Could do worse in the 15 as a bench bat. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, Eric Kaltman, you got to post the BR pronunciation because it has a built-in nickname, Il DeMauro. Ill, I get it. I like it. I like that. He's ill. He's like licensed to ill for those that are old like me. You'll understand that reference. Stephen Crawford says revenge game for Simeon Woods Richardson against Toronto. That's great because I added him everywhere. So let's roll with that one as well.
Yep.
All right, Bloomfield, let's do it. CBS time.
All right, CBS time. So you want to do hitters or pitchers to start?
We can stream hitters real quick. So we talked about most of them. We just talked about Jacob Young.
What we're looking at here is again the CBS, the largest gainers in ownership from this week versus last week, and under 50% rostered in CBS. And then I just because I have to color code everything, I did some skills: strikeout rate, barrel rate, stolen base attempt rate, to get some semblance of batting average, homers, and speed.
I want to say this for you though: you joke about you got to do it, the color code. I appreciate it. I enjoy the color code, so. You do you. I think it's pretty sweet. But yeah, it's the prospects are near the top. And then you have your Young, your Talkman. There's Nick Senzel, Josh H. Smith, there's Willie Castro. But here you go, Winsfield Perez. We talked about Tyler Nevin. Yep. Now we're getting somewhere. So anybody else that stands out to you? Because like we didn't talk about Tyler Freeman. Does that interest you?
I have Tyler Freeman on a number of teams and 15 teamers. I think third base outfield eligible as well. So Tyler Freeman quietly has been really good. And that's all green skills. 18% strikeout rate, which is great. 9% barrel rate, which is great. And a 27% stolen base attempt rate, which is also great for your speed. That stolen base attempt rate is based, it's a rough proxy when you're on first. How often do you try and steal second base? So 27% is pretty damn aggressive. So I like Tyler Freeman a lot. I'm surprised Tommy Pham's only 12% rostered in CBS.
It's just that these Yahoos and CBS is the rule. That's why it's fun doing these, because it just shows the roster rates that make you scratch your head a little bit.
And I also think, like, what do you think's like a good since we're on this? It's like I feel like your 15 team ads are like your guys that are in CBS world, like 10 to 20%.
Probably.
Because like those are guys I'm looking at as like for my 15s is Wenciel Perez, Tyler Nevin, Talkman, 100%. Senzel, Josh Rojas. I feel like for 12s, it may be more. I mean, I don't know. You know 12s better than I do, but
yeah, you're nailed the 15s. I think 12s are probably more like 30 to 60% because yeah. Like you look at some 12s. Like I remember I got Josh Lowe a few weeks ago. Who was it last? Oh, Seiya Suzuki was available in one last week. You get some random dudes here. It's like, whoa, you never see in a 15. So yep. Definitely check him out. But like Vaughn Grissom's 43% rostered here. He probably not even available in 12s, honestly. But so maybe it's maybe more like 25 to 45, something like that, give or take. So, yeah, you're in the ballpark there for sure.
Couple other names. Yeah. One name that super pops out to me is he's not up yet, but if you have room for a stash, Aurelvis Martinez in Toronto. Yep.
Kyle Lanzardo as well.
Yes.
He's crushing correct. It.
Correct.
Not sure where they play him, though. That's the problem, folks.
I know. Like they kind of have first base
yep.
locked in there. But I think Aurelvis Martinez could, like, there is an opportunity. He's hitting 310, yeah. 8 home runs at AAA right now. Like, I think that's a very worthy stash if you have the room to do it this weekend.
Can he play third base? I guess he can play second too if he needs to.
Play second.
Yeah, play second. Move things around because that offense needs a spark plug in a hurry. It's getting bad. Bad north of the border. Might be some fun trades coming up over there if things keep going this way.
We really have talked about most of these guys. Carlos Santana, yep. Palacios for yep. Tampa Bay we like. Jesse Winker you mentioned. So
Larnick's down there at the bottom.
Is he? Where is he at?
Yeah, very bottom.
Yep. Trevor Larnick's down there, 8% rostered in CBS. So it just kind of dovetails with a lot of the schedule talk that we just did. I like how yep. we've kind of touched on a bunch of these names already. Exactly.
And that leads to the pitcher side of things where Bailey Falter will be, he's 30% increase this week. It'll be a 30% drop rate next week.
Yes. So. That's, yeah. Yes, context is needed for why Bailey Falter is the top riser. Still loving on that two-step, but yeah.
No. But yeah, then you got like, you know, Reed Garrett, who we've talked about in recent weeks, Hector Neris, who we talked about, Slade Ciccone, who we have a question on that we'll discuss later on. But there's Alek Manoah, Simeon Woods-Richardson we've discussed. Like there's a lot of these fun names that a lot of these could be intriguing 12 and 15 team targets this week.
What's your take on Alek Manoah?
I'm still out. Like I know we talked off air before the show. Like really, really good in his last outing against the AAA Pittsburgh team. He went opposite Paul Skeens. I need a lot more than that one start from Alek Manoah to get back on board.
Yep. And the problem with that line of thinking, it's the proper line of thinking, and I'm with you, is if you wait, it's and he shoves again, that price is just gonna go up and up. So Taj Bradley is listed here.
I was just going to mention that. Okay. He's started his rehab assignment. He's probably got two more rehab starts potentially. He was awesome in his first, like really good. So if he might be back, probably not next week, but the following week.
So Ben Lively shows up at the bottom. We talked about him, I believe, last episode. Last week.
And he's been pitching well, man.
I know. Well. I kind of a mea culpa. I kind of ignorantly, well, he's been bad. Ben Lively is.
I called him Blake Lively last year because it was so bad. Remember? Yeah. But he gets the White Sox next week at the Chicago White Sox.
Exactly. Exactly. And the skills, I mean, 32% K rate, 5% walk rate. That is elite. Is he that good? No, he's not. The whiffs and the ball rate don't support it. But like he's, I think 15 team streamable Ben Lively is.
Yep. I'm with you on that one with Lively. Other than that, though, it's like Garrett Clevenger, he's getting save chances in Tampa Bay that people are still kind of quiet on. Cooper Criswell, we talked about him briefly last week. So he had a two-step this week, did well against the Giants. I don't think he's a big strikeout guy, but he's going to do enough to probably not destroy you in deeper formats is one thing I'd say. Then we got a question later about one Rodery Munoz, if you're curious. The dude's pretty good, and he's not make-believe.
Yeah, on Sunday you texted me, you're like, Rodery Munoz. I'm like, that's not a real person. Came out and shoved against Colorado. Against Colorado. But I don't know. From what I've seen, pretty shaky control in the minors.
Yep, in the minors, very shaky. 18% walk rate in the minors. 3 walks so far in 11 innings in the bigs. I'll take that with 14 strikeouts.
Yep. Question from Ryan O'Donnell. Do we like Mitchell Parker longer term tough matchup versus Baltimore? Oh. I think Mitchell Parker, I like some of the things, but I think he's a streamer, and I would not start him against Baltimore next week. That has blow up written all over it.
He towed the line versus Texas today. I would take that and enjoy it. See, Gialdi gets it. Rowdy Rotary. If I can't get Rowdy Tellez, give me Rowdy Rotary. Let's go.
Trevor McGill is listed at 13% rostered in CBS leagues. We just talked earlier about the prize fighter, Abner Uribe, going down to AAA. That basically means it's either McGill or Joel Piamps, I believe, for saves in Milwaukee. Yep. So I don't think there's really a big relief pitcher ad this week, but Trevor McGill, I think you can kind of slide him in and maybe get a save or two, and maybe even more if things start working out. But didn't he? I mean, he like fainted and went on the IL.
He fainted at a I believe it was Verizon or a T-Mobile and hit his head and got on the concussion IL. But since he's come back, he's got a couple saves. He's like the Andres Munoz for them. He plays a lot of high leverage, but would be their primary closer if possible. So Piamps will get his, but McGill's the better reliever.
I haven't been to a cell phone store in forever. I probably would faint in one of those right now, too.
Yeah, they're annoying. Those people behind the counter think they're God's gift to technology.
Some history there, Bubba. Sounds like
it's so frustrating because I'm electronically like just not good, and I go asking questions, and they make me feel like the dumbest human being alive. And they're like little pimple poppers.
What if we have listeners that work for like Verizon, man? What are we doing?
Well, hopefully they're better people than the ones that work by me. Let's put it that way.
Eric says, I knew their customer service was bad, but not that bad. Pretty good.
It's a good one, Eric. Well done, Eric. That's so, good stuff.
Despite fainting in a cell phone store, Trevor
McGill. The prices got him.
I mean, they did. Yeah, and you got to wait like 4 hours to meet with somebody.
Take a number so you can talk to the Genius Bar. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough world out there.
Jesus.
Chigoni says after Baltimore, Parker gets the White Sox next week, then two-step Minnesota, Seattle.
Yeah, I like that. That I like.
That. So if you want to bench him, go for it for next week. That's fine. But I'm still not a big believer in Parker overall, but that's maybe my blind spot. So
cool.
All right. Two steps. Ready?
All right. Let's two steps. We don't have a color code two step. Sorry, people.
No, and it's only relevant people. It's like Zach Gallen will pass on with a bunch of five game weeks. Not a lot of two steps already.
Many. Yep.
Like Justin Steele's coming back. You're going to start him. What about Frankie Montas at home versus Arizona, then at the San Francisco Giants?
That's reasonable enough. I would. I'd roll with Frankie.
All right, Tristan McKenzie and Logan Allen, they get at home against Detroit and at the Chicago White Sox. Ho, 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 ho.
Yeah, you got to. I don't know what to think about Tristan McKenzie, to be honest. If you look at his game log, it's just
doing it. It's scary.
He's just so inconsistent, though, from start to start. You just have no idea. But yes, anybody, this is the dream. Maybe Miami, like Ryan Feltner had the Miami.
Colorado. He's with Colorado, but he had Feltner and Miami, Pittsburgh. That's a good one.
Yeah, which is pretty sweet. But yeah, this is for Logan Allen and Tristan McKenzie, Detroit and at the White Sox is absolutely beautiful.
I'm out. Not for me.
You're not doing it?
Detroit's actually swinging very good bats right now, and I don't trust Tristan McKenzie or Logan Allen at all.
We did just say that, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Get you some. The Rockies, Dakota Hudson, at home against the Giants, at home against Texas.
Yeah. We can.
All right. White Sox. White Sox, Soroka and Mike Clevinger at Tampa and then versus Cleveland.
No.
I think they may be better options.
That's what I was just going to go. Soroka, Clevinger versus McKenzie Allen.
No, the Cleveland start scares me. That's the problem. But. Like, I like that Tampa Bay start better than the Detroit start.
Yeah, okay. I could listen to that argument.
Jack Flaherty, he's already starting. Justin Verlander should be starting.
Whoa.
Jack Flaherty. Oh, do you want to talk about Jack Flaherty? Sorry.
His first name is Cy. It's not Jack. So continue on.
My apologies, sir. My apologies for mispronouncing that one. I'm good at mispronouncing things, so I apologize. Kansas City, Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo should already be starting. Here you go. Angels, Tyler Anderson and Patrick Sandoval at Pittsburgh versus Kansas City.
God.
I'm going to go yes and no.
I'm going to say yes and no. I agree with you, which is Tyler Anderson, yes, and I just Patrick Sandoval. I cannot bring myself to start Patrick Sandoval.
No, can't do it. Walker Buehler, would you start him versus Miami and at San Diego?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like, well, again, I mean, you mentioned it. Maybe he doesn't go five, but like versus Miami.
Yeah.
Come on. The Dodgers are winning that game. It's, you know, can Buehler go five and get the win?
Yep. Yep. Miami, speaking of which, you might get Buehler back and Garrett back in the same game. That's fun. Braxton Garrett at the Dodgers versus Philly. If he comes back, I'm pitching Braxton Garrett.
Are you?
Yeah.
At the Dodgers versus Philly?
Yep. Yep.
I think I am too. I think you have to, but that's a tough schedule.
Strikeout upside's too good for me on those ones.
Okay.
Milwaukee, Bryce Wilson and Colin Ray at Kansas City versus St. Louis.
I mean, they have ERAs of 3 and 2.67.
Both pitching over their skis right now.
Way over their skis. I would go Wilson, not Ray.
See, I was debating going the other direction. Especially because I'm looking at Wilson faces Reagans and Mikolas. The Reagans one is tough. Ray faces Lugo, which isn't easy either, but I doubt Steven Matz is there. So I don't know. I really don't want to start either one, if I'm honest.
No, I really don't either. Like, I know with Wilson, you are not, with Bryce Wilson, you are not getting any whiffs or strikeouts, and probably the same with Ray. Wilson has an 8% whiff rate. Ray has a 7% whiff
rate.
Ray
was on our board last week. On Tuesday. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And they don't, yeah, they don't do anything good. I'm probably out on both, to be honest. They don't, dude. What are you doing?
I know. All right. Minnesota, Simeon's Woods Richardson and Bailey Ober at home against Seattle at the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm starting both.
Yes. The at Blue Jays is not as fearsome as once thought.
This one's interesting. Luis Eel has overachieved, some would say. Versus Houston at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I throw it.
Okay. We got the Oakland Athletics. You have Alex Wood at home versus Texas at Seattle.
No. Got to be kidding me.
No, I'm just reading what I'm saying. Pittsburgh, Mitch Keller, home against the Angels, home against the Cubs.
Yeah, you go with that.
Yeah. He's been very underwhelming, but yeah.
He's put, what's he? He's got a Mitch Keller five, has a 5.18 ERA.
It's bad. It's bad. He's like the young kids are pitching. Like Martin Perez is a 2.86, Priester 3.31, Jared Jones is a beast. Like in reality, Keller might not get it if Skeens comes up on Friday. By the way, keep that in mind.
Keller, Keller's K rate, so it jumped from 20% to 26% last year, right back down to 22%. Corbin Young, you must be hurting, man.
Yep.
T's hasn't been a good look.
T's and P's.
Granted, the Sierra is 4 compared to a 5.18 ERA. So a little bit of bad fortune too, but skills aren't so hot for Mr. Keller right now.
Yep. Yu Darvish, you're pitching. Luis Castillo, you're pitching. Oh man, this is pure speculation for the Giants. They have Mason Black going on Monday and Saturday. That would be amazing. They also, and that's at Philly and then versus Cincinnati. Then you got Kyle Harrison at Colorado versus Cincinnati. I'm starting Harrison for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if Black's going to get the start. If Black's coming up, I want everything. I like Black a lot.
We're so trained to think at Colorado.
Yeah, it doesn't scare me at all right now.
Would you – so you just said you like Black a lot. Speaking of Fab this weekend, like
– he won't be available.
Well, in leagues where he might be available. Yeah. I'm just throwing this out there. Would you rather take Black or like one of the rehab guys, Taj Bradley or Alec Manoah?
I'd take him over. I'd take Bradley for sure. I'd probably take Black over Manoah, but I'm also very biased on that one.
Okay. Because
Black will go back down when Snell comes back. Okay. That's the problem.
And Alex Cobb may come back. Well,
yeah, Black will be up later in the year when guys like Hicks and Wynn and these guys need their innings reduced. So hopefully they minimize Black in the minors before then type situation. Yeah. St. Louis, Mikolas at home against the Mets at Milwaukee.
I never figured out how Miles Mikolas had that one breakout year that he had.
Smoke and mirrors, brother. Smoke and mirrors.
And he's just like instantly horrendous again. I will never understand that year. But no, so I'm out on Mikolas. I think Mats is going to the IL.
Yes, I do.
There's our guy, Lance Lynn, at Milwaukee in the dome.
Yeah.
Fortunately.
Following week at the Angels. So we're going to start heating up. Start heating up, folks. Yep. Tampa Bay Rays, Alexander versus the White Sox versus the Yankees.
Is that Tyler Alexander? Jesus.
Yeah.
Does he even go deep into games? I don't.
I think you're getting five if you're happy.
He has. Yeah, he's gone five or six couple times. I don't think I'm throwing it in a 15 even. The White Sox.
Yes, very tempting.
But that Yankee start could be a bloodbath.
Yeah, at least it's in the trop, I guess, is the best way to put it. Texas, you have Andrew Heaney at Oakland, at Colorado.
Yeah, you're rolling. Ooh. Of course you are. Let's go.
Of course. I don't think I've ever heard someone say, of course you're rolling with Andrew Heaney. But I get it.
Blue board headliner on the last show. I got to stick with my...
Tyler Nevin takes Heaney deep on Monday. Just let you know that right now.
All right. I'll be looking for it.
Book it. All right. Any final thoughts before we head to the questions for the listeners?
Nope, no. No, I'm good. All right.
I start off some here in the chat. We're going to save here. Uncle Ted, what do y'all think of Rodery Munoz? I like him quite a bit if he sticks to the rotation. So talked about him a lot last, or at least messaged with Bloomfield about it. He told me I'm crazy. He doesn't exist. But Braxton Garrett coming back, and then Jesus Lizardo is supposed to come back next week. We might not see Munoz again for a little bit. That's the only problem there. Next up here, Ryan O'Donnell says, Brendan Rodgers is available in 75% of OCs. Is he worth a look or is he dust? Doesn't have a lot to add to the table, but what do you
think? No. You may want to add him this week with the six games at Coors and see what happens. I believe I mentioned on this show last time that Coors is a very monthly park factor variant park. That was just a random list of words I threw together. Impressive. It's a lot easier to hit in Coors in the summer than it is in April and May. So maybe summertime, Brendan Rodgers heats up. But I think the playing time's there and you're at an all home week. I'd go with it if you're desperate at middle infield.
For sure. Ryan also has a tongue in cheek. Jacob Young,
Corbin
Carroll, rest of season. That'll be a fun one to actually look at later, tell you that much.
I know. Obviously Carroll, but
yeah. Yeah, obviously Carroll. MC says, here's a good one, Senzel or Nevin? I'll take Nevin.
You like Nevin, don't you?
Yeah, Senzel, I'm just waiting for the next injury to take place.
I'll go Nevin. I'll go Nevin.
Yeah, it's a smart move.
Thanks, Pablo. Just blindly just say I agree with you from now on.
Trust me, he doesn't always agree with me, folks. Couple other questions here. We got our buddy John Wilder, one of the listener league participants. Any tips for someone who spent big last week on middle reliever Cano and a bench bat Goodman, asking for a friend?
Ouch. Go back to that Colorado well.
Yeah, you can drop Goodman. Just drop him. He's not playing. Like, he's platooning. It's ugly. It makes me angry. Cano, I'd try to pick up somebody else if you can, if there's anybody else worth a darn in the relieving world. He'll get his share, but he's not going to be the main guy.
And we don't know. I mean, Kimbrel could be fine, right?
Yeah. We haven't even got that officialness either, so.
Like, I don't even know if he's going on the IL, so. I don't know.
Yep. A lot of moving parts there. That's for sure. Andy Splinter says, seeing Neris's underlying stats makes me want to run to someone else in that pen. Who's your preferred second in line, Leiter Jr., Almonte, or back to Alzolay?
I'd lean back to Alzolay.
And he's been like, I know they're getting him quote unquote work to get better, but he's been like the third option the last few days.
Yep. And Hector Neris does have and I don't think this is in the question, but like if you have Neris, you're rolling with him no matter how bad he is, because he does have the job.
Yeah.
It's gonna blow up at some point, but like you never know. I mean, what if you get a lucky month, 2 month stretch from Hector Neris, even though yes, he has more walks and strikeouts, like, but he has the gig right now. So I'm rolling with him until it falls apart.
Yeah, that's the probably smart thing to do. And then we have Eric Halterman in the chat saying Leiter is a secret right-handed lefty specialist. So interesting. Very good stuff there. And then the Fantasy Gospel says expectations for Alek Manoah following his 12K outing and velo improvement. Thanks. Yeah, we kind of talked about it earlier, but in his last outing against Skeens, Manoah 6 innings, 2 hits, 112 Ks in that matchup. Prior to that, BRUTAL brutal stuff. So my expectations are tempered is a nice way of me saying it. What's yours?
But I think if you can sneak Alek Manoah for a couple bucks in Fab this weekend, maybe don't start him right away if he comes back or whatever, but if you can get him cheap just to find out, I think it's worth doing. I mean, this he has been really good before for like an entire season, and maybe sometimes this stuff just clicks. Like probably not, but I will have Alek Manoah in some bids, not spending much, but if I get him, I'm interested in finding out.
Reed Garrett or Alek Manoah?
Reed Garrett.
Taj Bradley probably. Simeon Woods Richardson.
Simeon Woods Richardson.
John Means.
Alek Manoah.
Mitchell Parker.
Alek Manoah.
Ben Lively.
Alek Manoah.
Okay, I was just going down a CBS list here. Hayden Wesneski.
Alek Manoah. Okay.
Quinn Crete. You like Manoah. That's good stuff there. Okay. That answers that question.
I'd probably go Lively over Manoah. I'll correct the record.
Yeah, that's an interesting Manoah love there. I'm rooting for you, friend.
It's not love, dude. I mean, these guys are streamers and 15 teamers. That's all I'm saying is like.
That's fair. And they made one more question. We had one more question from Stephen Crawford. Do you feel Slade Ciccone is worth a stream tomorrow versus San Diego? I do. I think there is some sneakiness out of Slade, but I'll give you the floor first on this one. What are your thoughts on Slade Ciccone?
I think he's a middling pitcher. I think there's some definite blow up potential. The control is awesome. He throws a ton of strikes, maybe too many strikes. You kind of want to be, I mean, he throws a four seam fastball 50% of the time, throws it for strikes 75% of the time, which is really good. He's got a slider changeup that he can miss some bats with that he throws that other 50% of the time. So there's enough here for Slade to get by. I don't think the ceiling's all that high long term, but to answer the San Diego question, I think I'd bench him.
I would start him just because you got some real struggling bats there in San Diego.
Yeah,
sure. Anything can happen, but like they're striking out 20% of the time versus righties on the season. It's been bleak. I'm actually going to shrink down the number real quick on this one.
Let's pull you're doing HQ matchups tomorrow, right?
Yes. Slade is. Oh, he will be. I have to still write him up, but he's on my bottom part.
We'll give you guys a little peek. I think I can throw these out there for you all. What's the matchup score for Mr. Ciccone? It is 0.3, positive 0.3.
That's better than some other people on this slate.
Which, yeah, like sounds bad, but a lot of you probably don't know the scale. Yeah. 0.3 is very much startable. Anything positive is startable in 15. So maybe I roll with them now.
And like I was going to say, is over the last just 2 weeks versus right-handed pitching as the Padres have struggled, 21.5% K rate, still 271 average. Like they have a 118 WRC plus, yeah. So they're going to walk in the park. But I still think there's something there. The more important part, like he's a stream tomorrow potentially, but as Ryan O'Donnell says, does he stick in the rotation? I don't think so. I think Ryan Nelson comes back soon, and that's where I think it gets interesting. Now, could he take Merrill Kelly's spot? Potentially. That's an option, but I feel like, once Ryan Nelson comes back, maybe Ciccone sticks. Yeah, maybe he does stick there. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's something there. But like next week, it's at Cincinnati. You're not starting them there. Following weeks at home versus Cincinnati, you can probably get a bunch of strikeouts there. Mm-hmm. It's a very matchup dependent kind of guy. Very matchup dependent. So Yeah, just be careful. But I think there will be times where strikeouts will be a plenty. It's not like Ryan said, a lot of strikes, but not a lot of swing and miss. It's like 8.5% swinging strike rate, give or take. So you're relying on a lot of called strikes, they say. So not always my comfort zone.
Agreed.
He's got that Colin Ray thing going on. Let's put it that way.
You don't want that Colin Ray thing going on.
I just wanted to bring it full circle to someone people really like to pitch these days. All right, Bluefield, another fab preview in the books. Any final thoughts as we head into the weekend?
I got nothing. Hour and a half. We did it. We surpassed the hour and a half mark. I like it. Yep. But no, covered a ton of names. I think I'm ready to start putting my bids in on Friday, which is my new routine this year.
A lot of good conversation in the chat here. Appreciate you guys. A lot of questions always. In general. So keep them coming. And good luck in fab this week. Well, if you have any questions, well, first, check out Ryan's column and my column. To get you ready for the week, listen to the podcast. We'll have plenty of stuff to get you covered for fab. What?
No, we do. Yeah, just realize we do a fab episode, and we both write our own fab columns. Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of kickstarts our fab columns essentially to like where things go. Yeah, it'll be a fun weekend ahead. So if you have any questions, hit us up. Ryan's on Twitter at RyanBHQ. The podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intric. This was Bubba the Bloom, episode 131. Catch you all next time.